In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the way of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit may be proved truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation to the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Father Lanteri,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius of Loyola,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, good afternoon. The two of the worst criminals in the state, they were actually brothers. And they were baptized and raised as Southern Baptists, but they didn't really live their faith that well at all. So one of them died. And he went to the Baptist minister and said, look, in your funeral homily, I want you to preach that my brother was a great saint, even though he was a notorious criminal. And the pastor said, well, it's going to be kind of tough, but I'll try to do it. So there was the coffin. The church was packed. Right next to the coffin was the brother of the notorious villain. And he said, you see that man in the tomb, in that coffin? He was a drug dealer. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He was a terrible, terrible, vicious liar. But in comparison to his brother right there, he was a great saint. So all of us want to grow in holiness through devotion to Mary. Amen?
Amen.
So a summary of what's been done up to this point, all of you... we'll have to eventually get the book if you don't have the book, because it's based on the book that I wrote. So if you haven't, after the class, you'll be able to get a book. We got a new store. New stock has come in. All right. The program is somewhat like a tripod, very similar to my spiritual exercises program. So we'll start off by giving a lecture on the topic. So this is the second class of five. Then afterward, we'll be able to break up into groups. And since it's such a nice day, we'll be able to have the sharing groups outside with your facilitator. Last week, you talked about who is Mary for you. That was the topic. And what do you expect to get out of this course? Those were the two questions that you're dealing with. This week is kind of a no-brainer. It's going to be, what did you read and reflect upon? Do you like the book?
Yes.
Love it.
Okay, so those chapters that you read, that's going to be the topic of your discussion. So the facilitator will ask, well, what chapter, what idea on Mary seemed to captivate you most? And everyone is going to be expressing something different because we're all different. And each of you will be enriching each other mutually by your sharing of the Blessed Mother. So it's an experience in which you're going to be enriching each other mutually by sharing these Marian nuggets, so to speak. These Marian nuggets. All right. The protocol of the of the your prayer is, I mentioned this as an option. Spend time in the morning reading through the chapter, doing what is called a lectio divina. Lectio divina is a type of meditation. I mentioned the different steps according to Pope Benedict XVI. Lectio, meditatio, contemplatio, oratio, e actio. Remember those words? Meditatio, you know, lectio, read it. Meditatio, think about what it is, using applying your intellect to it. Contemplatio, imagine that you're there with Mary. Oratio, talk to Mary. And if you've ever done my consecration, the other book I wrote on consecration of Mary, some of you have done that. Time and time again, I'm saying, talk to Mary, talk to Mary, talk to Mary, talk to Mary. My book has that probably 25 times. Talk to Mary, the way Juan Diego did. Talk to Mary. And then what I strongly encourage would be for in your family to read, if not a chapter, most chapters are only about 3 pages, at least a page right before dinner. Okay, so right before dinner you read that, and then at dinner talk about that. Instead of falling into chismosas, right? Okay. Doesn't mean eating cheese either, okay? Chismosa. Talk about Mary. If you love someone, you're going to be talking about that person, right? If you love someone, you want to talk about that person. And as the poet says, he who loves sings. Sing a song to Mary, okay? So so it's kind of a double dynamic. You're reading it personally, then you're reading it with your family, and you're talking about at your meal time. You can do it another time, but that's probably the most opportune time. Right after you finish reading it, have a nice meal together, and talk about Mary. Talk about Mary. We can talk negatively about other people, but none of us can say anything bad about Mary, right? Only praises, no? Only praises, and the highest praises, no? We give to Mary, and of course, the Trinity even more so. But so last week, I thought I would just give you the whole evolution of my career as a writer, okay? That's what I talked about, how it came about. And I mentioned the 4 books that I've written, from Humdrum to Holy, Consecration to Jesus and Mary through the Rosary. That was Sophia Press, so I changed editors, okay? Both of them, they're very renowned Catholic publishers. Sophia is very well known. 2 of my nieces work there in New Hampshire. But Tan is probably even more known. Probably the most famous publisher in the world would be Tan. So I feel honored that they accepted my works. No? So I wrote Roadmap to Heaven, which is part of the spiritual exercises to order the disordered. Remember that? Those who have done the exercises to order the disordered. And then I wrote this book that you have in your hands, a compendium of Mariology, where you have Marian devotions, you have Marian dogmas, you have Marian apparitions, approved, okay, not Bayside, okay, from New York. No, there's some that are spurious and they're not approved. So if you have apparitions, make sure that the apparition that you're reading is approved. But I've written upon the 4 most famous, which would be Lourdes, Fatima, and then Mexico, Guadalupe, and the 4th I'm going to be talking about today because it's that feast day today. So you're getting to know Mary, and then do you like the art?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you know that I painted all those? Did you know?
Yeah.
Didn't know that and I'm an artist, no? I'm a wordsmith, but not an artist, yeah. Yeah, the art is just breathtaking. It's so beautiful. So you look at that, that's going to bring you to talk to Mary. Very Ignatian, right? Utilizing your imagination, you look at that picture that draws you to prayer, to pray to Mary. Then at the end, you haven't arrived at it yet, you have rich treasure, patrimony of prayers to Mary. Many you know, but some of the prayers you don't know, but they're beautiful, beautiful prayers. As well as the binding is good. The other books I've written, the binding is weak and it falls apart easily. But this one, unless you're using it as a baseball bat, is going to last hopefully many years. No? But as a Protestant minister said, he who has their Bible that's falling apart probably won't have his life falling apart. How do you like that? Like that? So if you have your Marian book falling apart, hopefully your life will not be falling apart either, huh? Okay, so today what I'd like to talk about is a Marian feast day that it's not universal, and given that we're on the first Sunday of Advent, this is not going to be a celebrated memorial in the Mass, because Advent and Lent, as well as Sunday, always trumps any other Mass. But the 27th of November is the feast day of the miraculous medal. And there were some people outside the church at the 12 o'clock Mass giving out medals, no? So someone told me that, and I'd forgotten. And as soon as a person mentioned to me, right away I said, that's going to be talk on Sunday. So I prepared a talk on this topic over the past couple of days, and I hope that this will be a motivation for all of you. Okay, so today is the miraculous medal. And there's a church not too far away from us. I think it's in El Monte, Montebello, the miraculous medal. So there's actually a church in L.A. dedicated to that topic. Yeah. All right. The three most famous sacramentals, Marian sacramentals, would be the rosary, the scapular, and the miraculous medal. So, I mean, there are many, and as you read my book, you're going to be noticing all these different devotions, but the rosary, the scapular, and the miraculous medal are the three most well-known. For probably more than a half a century, I always have the three of them on me. I carry a rosary in my pocket. By the way, if you mug me, it would only be a venial sin, okay? That means I don't carry a lot of money, so don't mug me. You just get a rosary and a miraculous medal, okay? So the rosary, I have around my neck, I have a scapular, I have the miraculous scapular that my mother made. My mom was a little bit younger. She would make scapulars, and beautiful scapulars, and she sewed in my scapular the medal of Saint Benedict, as well as the miraculous medal. So I've got the scapular with the medal, miraculous medal, Saint Benedict, and in my pocket I got my rosary. In my wallet, I got about $3. Okay, so if a thief robs me, he's going to get very little money, but he's going to be converted to Mary, right? Blessing in disguise if you mug a priest, huh? So in these approved Marian apparitions, Our Lady Guadalupe, 1531, to Juan Diego. Four chief apparitions. Our Lady of Fatima to three children, Jacinta, Francisca, and Lucia. 1917, May 13th all the way through October 13th. Our Lady of Lourdes, 1858, to Saint Bernadette Soubirous. And she appeared 18 times. You know that? That's quite a few, isn't it? So 18 times she appeared to Saint Bernadette Soubirous. Okay, now let's talk about the miraculous medal. Mary appeared, this is probably the fourth most famous Marian apparition after those three. And you're going to have this as a later chapter in your book. Okay, so she appeared to a nun this time, sister. And the name of the sister was, okay, I'll say it in French and then I'll say it in English. Catherine Laboure. Okay? So in Spanish, it would be Catalina. In English, Catherine. And the last name would be Laboure. Looking at the expression on your face, I think barely any of you have ever heard of her. Well, now you're going to get to know a new saint. So Saint Catherine Laboure. So let's get to know her a little bit and then what happened in the life of this saint that would change the world. She was born in France. Okay, she lost her mother when she was a very small child. As was the case in my founder and many saints, they lose their mother when they're small, and then she was consecrated to Mary. So she had a second mother that was a blessed mother. Not bad, huh? Her older sister goes off to become a nun. She wanted to be a nun too, but her father needed her presence in the house to work. So as a result of that, she couldn't go to school and she couldn't read and write. She had to do a lot of manual work. Then, later on, her father gives her permission and she enters into a convent of nuns in Paris on what is called La Rue de Bac. Rue de Bac. And she enters into the congregation founded by Saint Vincent de Paul. Before entering, she had a vision of this older priest that said, "You will enter to be with me." So when she was entering into the convent, she saw a picture of that priest who she saw in a dream. And it was Saint Vincent de Paul. So she goes on to become a Sister of Charity, and that's the biggest, the most numerous order of nuns in the world, in which they renew their vows every year, which is unique in the religious life. Okay, so now she's a religious nun. She's a novice. Any of you know what a novice is? A novice would be, for example, I was a novice before I made my first vows. And I made my vows and put on my religious habit. Then I renewed it second year, third year, perpetual vows. And then after that, ordination to the diaconate, then the priest. So that's the way it goes for male religious. For women, they renew their vows, but they're not ordained priests because women can't become priests. Okay? Okay, so she's just in the convent for a short time, and something happened in her life that all the apparitions, there's nothing equal to this. She's in her bed, and someone wakes her up. It says, "Someone is waiting for you in the chapel." It looked like a little child. But after studying, it was probably her guardian angel that woke her up. So her guardian angel wakes her up and says, there's someone waiting for you in the chapel. So she dresses quickly and she goes in the chapel, and who is waiting for her is the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the Blessed Virgin Mary is sitting in the chair of the priest. It's called the presidential chair. Every apparition is unique, no? With the Lady of Lourdes, it's in the cova. With the children of Fatima, it's on the top of the home oak tree. But this time, the Blessed Mother, she's actually in the church. She's sitting down in the chair of the priest. So Catherine enters in, and she's captivated by the great beauty of this woman. But what she does is this. Come closer. Come closer. Come closer. Come closer. Come closer. Come closer. And that's what she's saying to all of you right now. Come closer to me. Come closer. Come closer. This course is going to bring you closer to Mary. So this talk is kind of key in the 5 weeks. Come closer to me. Come closer. Now, in all of the Marian apparitions, what's going to happen? No, I don't think there's any other approved Marian apparition that's going to happen, what I'm going to tell you now. She comes so close that she kneels down before the Blessed Mother and she puts her hands in the lap of Mary. So she actually touched Mary. There's nothing like that. Because in Guadalupe, she's up in the air, as well as in Fatima. There in Lourdes, she's in the cave, pretty far away. Come closer, come closer, come closer, come closer. So she puts her hands in the lap of Mary. And I was studying about 3 or 4 different sources of this before I was able to give the talk. Learning a lot myself. One of the YouTubes that I listened to, the priest said that they talked for several hours. That I didn't know. I thought it was relatively short. Can you imagine having a conversation with Mary for 3 hours? You can if you want to today. Hello? You can talk to her and she never gets tired. She's never looking at her watch. It's not working. No matter how long you talk, Mary would like to prolong the conversation. Remember that. She likes to prolong the conversation. Now, when I get to heaven, when I get to heaven with you, I'm probably going to be much more inquisitive than you people. There's a lot of things I want to ask the Lord when I get to heaven. One of the things I'm going to ask the Blessed Mother is, what went on in that conversation? I'm intrigued. What do you think they talked about? Well, do your holy hour on that. That intrigues me. We don't really know, but you can imagine. Probably one of the first things Mary said is, you know, who are you? Can you tell me something about yourself? You can do that to Mary too. Probably said, what are your sufferings? Tell me about your sufferings. Probably said, how is religious life going? You just arrived. How is it going? Probably, do you get along well with all those nuns? No. And most definitely, she would have said, are you falling in love with my son, Jesus Christ? That's taken for granted. No? So, in this course, you're called to be Catherine of Labouret. What she did, you're called to do that. Try to do it. Okay, maybe it's not going to be 4 hours, but okay, easily an hour. You're like, this is like Marcellino Panivino. Remember? It's kind of like a female version of Marcellino Panivino. Marcellino Panivino. Remember the little boy? Talking to Jesus on the cross? Well, you're going to do the same thing. And when you talk to Mary, Mary's always going to be directing you to Jesus anyway. I notice when I do my Holy Hour talk to Mary, almost always I end up by looking at Jesus and talking to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Almost without a word. And Mary's directing me to Christ. Do whatever He tells you. So I'm intrigued by what that conversation must have been. All right. That was the first apparition. So there was more than one. The second one, Mary appears, and there's a globe, and on it is France, written the word France. It's a golden globe. And Mary was very concerned with France and all the suffering. By the way, this is 1830. Okay, this is your 1830. There's a lot of suffering, wars, immigrants, a lot of poor people, people dying of hunger. So Mary was concerned about her children dying of hunger and suffering in many ways. Okay, the third apparition is of great importance. I'm not going to say it's more important than the other two, but different. So the first apparition, her kneeling down and talking to Mary face to face and placing her hands on the lap, that's huge. And when I'm given the spiritual exercises as well as my course on Mary, I give Marcellino and Catherine of Labor as a model for you when you're doing the consecration program. You want to arrive at a point where Mary's real. Not just a statue up there collecting dust, but she's real. She's real now as she was 2,000 years ago. And you are getting to know Mary. You're falling in love with Mary. You're trying to imitate Mary. And my friends, most of you have consecrated yourself to Mary. If you really live that out, your anxieties and fears, they should disappear. I've noticed over the past couple of weeks when I've been experiencing various crosses and desolations and sufferings, right away the thought occurred to me, okay, I give it to Mary and almost immediately I have peace. So you might try to do that. You have a cross, a desolation. If you're consecrated to Mary, give that to her. And right away, I experience this interior peace because I belong to Mary, not simply my good moments, my triumphs, but also my problems belong to Mary too. Who better to resolve my problems than Jesus and Mary? We try to resolve the problems by ourselves, they're going to get bigger. And they will overwhelm us. They'll drown us. No? We give it to Mary. Okay, Mary, this is yours. Okay, I'm not going to worry about it. It's yours. No? It's yours. This problem I give to you, and you'll take care of it. You're going to be reading another chapter on Mary, Undoer of Knots. Have any of you heard of that? So it's the Undoer of Knots. You're going to get a chapter on that. Mary wants to undo knots. Remember as a kid when I would have knots, I'd try to rip it open, but then I'd break it. But I gave it to my mom. She was always threading with a thimble on. I mean, she'd undo it in about 10 seconds. It took me 10 minutes to break it, no? So we want to give our knots to Mary so that she can undo our knots too. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so the third apparition, Mary tells this nun. Now this is going on, and no one knows about this, except eventually she will reveal this to her spiritual director. And they say women can't keep secrets. 30 years she kept this a secret. This is a model for women that struggle with keeping secrets. 30 years. So her spiritual director said, and Our Lady said, it's not time for you to reveal it yet. Later on. Mary was preparing the terrain for the moment. And you know, there's a time for everything, right? There's a time to talk. There's a time to be silent. There's a time for everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Okay, so she appears. And now what she does is she presents to this saint her desire. What did Our Lady want in Mexico? She wanted a church. What did she want in Lourdes, France? A church. What did she want in Fatima? Okay, she wanted a church. But with this saint, it was not that. She wanted a medal to be made. Okay. And it's M-E-D-A-L, not M-E-T-A-L, okay? She wanted a medal to be made. So of all the medals in the world, this is probably the most famous medal in the whole world. I mean, you have one of Our Lady Guadalupe, Sacred Heart, St. Anthony, okay? Maybe one of St. Fulgentius of Ruspe, I don't know, maybe. But this is the most famous one. And afterward, thanks to the work of Elvira, I'm going to be giving you a beautiful image of Our Lady with the Miraculous Medal. Okay? And I'll be giving you the two sides. Okay, this would be the front sides. Not all of you can see it clearly. Here's the front side. I purposely did not give into because being a teacher, I know if you give some of the people play around where they don't pay attention to the teacher, no? That's a tip for teachers, okay? So I'll give it to you afterwards. And I've been teaching for many years, so I know the tricks of the trade, no? And then this is the back. So it's nice and big. The way Elvira did it is excellent. Well, first we couldn't find it in English, and finally we found a version in English. We had it in French, because originally it was in French. So we'll give this to you at the end of the talk. Say thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Elvira. Thank you. Really, it's very beautiful. So, I think what I'd like to do is this in the talk. I'll explain you the symbolism, but I was looking through my library. If you're ever to come into my room, you're going to think that I'm a real scholar because I got so many books. I haven't had enough time to read all of them. But this book here, someone gave it to me a few years ago. It's the Miraculous Medal. And this is probably the best book written on the topic. I did some speed reading the other day, just leafing through it. But it's excellent. It explains, okay, it's good question. The author is Aladel, A-L-A-D-E-L-C-M. And it's Loretto Press. It's not 10. You know, there's a lot of publishers. This is Loretto Press. And I was listening to Sensum Fide, a podcast on it last night. Do any of you know who Al Liddell is? Once I heard this, I said, Al Liddell was the confessor and spiritual director of Catherine Laboure. Oh. So I'd never heard of this guy, but then the priest that was giving the talk said, Father Al Liddell was the spiritual direct confessor to the saint. He died before her, But he was able to compile all of this information that he was getting from this nun, who he said, keep it a secret until... Actually, it was kept a secret. After he died, she still didn't reveal it. And finally, shortly before she revealed it, and then it takes like wildfires. It spread so quickly afterward, the whole idea of the medal. So this explains who Catherine Laboureille was. But it's got page after page after page of the miracles that came about. Page after page. It's probably the sacrament in which you have most miracles in the Catholic Church. Because technically, the name of the medal, the technical name, is the Medal of the Immaculate Conception. That's the technical name. But because so many miracles have been attributed to it, that everyone calls it the Miraculous Medal. But technically, it's the Immaculate Conception. So you can call either one. All right. I see that there's various ethnic groups here. When I was brought up and raised, I didn't know anything about Our Lady of Guadalupe. I admit, when I was a little kid. Our Lady of Lourdes, a little bit. Our Lady of Fatima, quite a bit. But the statue that my mom had ever since I was small was Our Lady of Grace. Now, Our Lady of Grace is Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal. You see the connection? So I was brought up and raised. I never saw Our Lady of Guadalupe, but I saw this beautiful statue of a woman dressed in blue and white with her hands open, okay, standing on a globe, you know, crushing the head of a serpent. I was brought up and raised. I remember I was 5 or 6 seeing the serpent. I thought I was afraid. No, the serpent, no. So that's Our Lady of Grace, which is related to the Miraculous Medal. And by the way, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of Częstochowa, Our Lady of the... It's all the same person. Some people think there's a different person. How many women have here more than one dress? So every time you change your dress, you change your personality? Probably not, no? Every time you change your dress, you change your name? Probably not, no? It's the same woman, but it's a different dress, so... The same thing of the Blessed Mother. It's the same Blessed Mother, but she changes her dress. And it's culturally speaking, she adapts herself to the culture. Whole books should be written on that. Because in, you know, how many Mexicans here? She spoke to Juan Diego in Nahuel, in the language of the Aztec Indians. Okay, in Lourdes, she spoke French, but Patois. Do you know what Patois is? That would be the dialect, okay? Which was French, but it was there were dialects. When she appeared in Fatima, she spoke in Portuguese. So when she appears to this nun, she speaks in French, Parisian French. And if you look, okay, you look at Our Lady of Guadalupe. I see a lot of Mexicans here, and you're dark skinned, most of you. So Our Lady appears dark skinned. If you ever see a French woman, it's usually more white, okay? She appears in Akita, Japan. She looks like a Japanese woman, because Akita's in Japan. In other words, Mary wants to be the sister to all of us. It's a universal brotherhood and sisterhood. She's the universal mother, universal sister. She's mother, she's virgin, she's got it, she has it all to the highest degree. Okay, so there are so many miracles. And I'm going to tell you one miracle. I heard a podcast and I listened to it a couple of times. And this was the miracle that Father Greg Staub, that the priest had passed away about 3 years ago. He was with us at St. Peter's Snow for, before I think any of you people were here, but he was here for about 7 years. Holy priest. He had great devotion to Mary. He was brought up and raised with the Immaculata of Kolbe. But the miracle that I'm going to tell now, I remember when he was with us 15 years ago, he was so enthusiastic, so I thought I'd go back and study this, and this will be part of my talk today. Okay, you ready? Okay, it's the conversion of Claude Newman. Okay, just write that down. Claude Newman. Okay. This may be a shock to you, but really my first name is actually Claude. Okay. Claude Edward Broome III. So when I came here, I said to the people, because I was speaking more Spanish than English, I said, "Mi nombre es Padre Escobita." Escobita? Okay. And I said, because escoba, broom is escoba. It's escoba. So I have the same name as my grandfather and my father. So my grandfather is Escobón. My father's Escobe, and I'm Escobita. Yeah. That's been my name for 28 years, my nickname. Even when I was in Radio Guadalupe for 10 years, my program was Variando Conciencias con Padre Escobita. I was on the radio for 10 years. I had my own program. No? So, this conversion is... His name is Claude. Not Claude Broome, though, okay? And this is what happened. He was brought up and raised in Missouri, Afro-American. And this would be the 1940s. 1940s. Okay, he saw a man somewhat like To Kill a Mockingbird, if any of you like literature, okay? With Gregory Peck in the movie. So someone was abusing his grandmother, so he pulled out a gun and he killed the guy. So he was incarcerated. He was thrown in jail. And what happened was, Claude Newman was given the death penalty. Still, there was a lot of racial tension against the blacks back in the 40s. Especially in the South. Okay, that's why to Kill a Mockingbird, if you like literature, it's a classic. Actually came out 2 weeks ago at Edward Cinema. I went to see it. I mean, but the racial tension was still pretty strong, and he was condemned to death. Even though he was defending his grandmother, who was being abused by this person. Okay, follow the sequence of these events now. Okay, he's there in jail. His religion is nothing. He's illiterate. He works in the fields. Okay, the only religious thing he has is that he believes that a God exists. That's the only thing. Prayer. Southern Baptist, none of that. Okay, God exists. That's the only thing. So there couldn't have been anyone more ignorant than this man. So there he is. He's thrown in jail with these hardened criminals. All right, there he's in jail with about four other men. And some of them were in death row. Oh, these are tough nuts. He sees a man, he's a Catholic, that's wearing the miraculous medal. So he's curious, and asks the man, the Catholic, okay, what are you wearing around your neck? And he said, it's a medal. And Claude Newman asked him, okay, well, what is a medal? What is that about? So the guy couldn't explain it. So he takes the medal, he rips it off, and he throws it on the ground. Obviously, it was a hothead, and he had the medal, but he didn't really understand it that well. So Claude Newman goes, and he picks up the medal, and he's able to get a string, and he's able to wear the medal. Okay, that night, he had a vision of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He had a vision of the Blessed Virgin, and he never ever saw anyone so beautiful as the Blessed Mother. I mean, he was just captivated by the utter beauty of Mary. Okay, the closer you get to Mary, the more beautiful you will be in your soul. All of us are called to be beautiful. I repeat. The closer you get to Mary, the more beautiful you're going to be in your soul. My friends, that's the only thing that really matters. Right? The beauty of our soul, the beauty of our soul, of our moral life, really that's the only thing that matters. Let me tell you the most beautiful woman who lived last century, Mother Teresa. Physically, no. But the beauty of her soul was captivating to God. That's why she's a canonized saint already. Quickly. Yeah, 1997 she died, canonized about 10 years ago. So, we don't know that conversation between Mary, but he was captivated by her beauty. But one thing that Mary told him was this, call a priest and say that you want to become a Catholic. So, calls the priest, and the priest sits down and they start to talk, and he tells him about his vision of the Blessed Mother. And the fact that he wants to become a Catholic. So the priest starts to prepare him, and about four or five other men in the prison want to become Catholics too. So there's a domino effect. So apparently this man is talking to the other prisoners about what he... And there it becomes contagious. So he's still on death row. He's going to be condemned. They have not reprieved the sentence as of yet. So Mary appears to him, and he sees the priest and a nun another time. Don't forget, he doesn't know how to read, doesn't know how to write. He's a farm worker, no culture, no education. And he tells the priest and the nun that these men, they should all go to confession. And he said this, when they go to confession, the priest represents Christ. Number two, when you go to confession, he said, it's related to Jesus on the cross, and the blood of Jesus on the cross washes the soul clean when you make a good confession. The priest and the nun were listening to him, and he said, "I'm sorry I made you angry." And they said, "You didn't make us angry. We're just captivated by what we're saying." So he's trying to get all these hardened criminals to go to confession, and some of them were Catholics. Then as the catechesis goes on, he says to the priest and the nun, "You know that little piece of bread? That is truly the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity of Jesus Christ." Said it looks like a piece of bread, but it's not bread, it's God. So the nun, the priest, no one taught him except the Blessed Mother. So the Blessed Mother, with the priest and nun, was his catechist. Pretty good catechist, huh? So time is moving on, and the day of his sentence is drawn closer. It's going to be in February. So, this is what happens. After the catechesis, he's baptized. So he becomes a new Catholic. And that would mean, of course, all of his sins are washed clean. He's made his first communion. And he's becoming a fiery apostle of Jesus and Mary. But his sentence has not been commuted. Nor will it be. It will be only for a short time. All right, in the prison there, there's a Catholic chaplain that comes in to visit and to try to confess. There is one prisoner that is the worst prisoner that this priest has ever met. And he's bad stuff. Almost like Rasputin. He's bad stuff. Maybe even possessed. And he hates everyone, but he especially hates the guts of Claude Newman. If he had the chance, he probably would have ripped him to pieces. He hated him. And once Newman becomes a Catholic, he hates him even more. As Newman is doing, he's overflowing with joy. He's talking to the other prisoners about this faith that the Blessed Mother has given to him. He can't keep it to himself. Okay, now, the day arrives for his execution, and in the south, it's the electric chair. Okay? You know what that is, no? So the electric chair. Some of you have heard of Ted Bundy, the serial killer. The electric chair. So there in the south, what happened before the death is that the guard would allow the prisoner to have a last wish. What do you think he asked for? I heard this today. I almost started to laugh. He said, "Okay, what I want is I want to have a party. I want cake and ice cream, and I want all the prisoners to celebrate with me." For his death. So there was a wealthy lady of the parish of where that priest was. She ordered cake and ice cream. Now, someone complained, "You know those guys on the second floor? There's going to be a riot." And Claude Newman says, "No, they'll calm down for me." So they bring in the cake and the ice cream. How many of you would have cake and ice cream celebrated before being going to the electric chair? Okay, you know why? Because he saw the Blessed Mother, and she was so beautiful that he just want to be with her. I want to stay here on earth. I don't mean looking at these prisoners. They're a good guy. I don't want to spend all eternity with these guys, no. I want to just be with her. I want to be with her. So he wanted to die as soon as possible to be with her. And obviously, Mary would have talked about her son, which is even greater. You know? So they have a nice cake and ice cream celebrating the electric chair that's coming out upon him the following day. Have you ever met anyone that's so happy that the person is going to die? I've never heard of this before. But if we only knew what heaven is and the beauty of Mary, we would understand him or we'd be celebrating too. Okay. Let's follow up on this story of Claude Newman. The Blessed Mother appears to him, and what has happened is the police have talked with the head of the jail there, and I think in law language it's called a reprieve. Okay? Reprieve, which means it's going to be commuted, it's going to be delayed, his execution. So they bring this news to him, and he falls into profound desolation that he's not going to die. Party pooper, as we say in New York, huh? Because he wanted to go to heaven so much, he didn't want to spend an extra day there. Because he knew that he's going to go right to heaven. None of this purgatory stuff, no? See, he longed to be with Mary so much that nothing, that he was focusing on Mary, and Mary brings him to Christ. Okay, but follow the reason why this happened. The Blessed Mother allowed this to happen for the conversion and salvation of a hardened criminal. Guess who that was? So that hardened criminal that was the incarnation of evil, that hated the guts of Claude Newman. He would have killed the guy. The Blessed Mother wanted Claude Newman to stay and suffer a couple more weeks so that Claude Newman could offer his prayers, his suffering, his sacrifice for the conversion of the sinner. Knowing this, he willingly accepted that, even though he longed so much to go to heaven to be with Mary. So what happens is, the day of the execution arrives, and Claude Newman is executed in the electric chair. Okay, this man is still in jail, and he's a hardened criminal. So his day of execution arrived. But he's going to hit the electric chair too. He's much worse than Claude Newman. Guess what happens? A doctor comes, a Catholic doctor comes and says, "Why didn't you ask for a priest? You got the last chance." And this criminal spits in the face of the doctor. Pretty bad, huh? Spits in the face of the doctor. Okay. Okay, where's Claude Newman now? He's in heaven. No doubt, he's in heaven. So, this criminal is led to the electric chair, and he has a vision of guess who? He had three visions now. And in my spiritual exercise program, I'm going to be using this story in the future. And I'll tell you the story next week, okay? Held in suspense, huh? No. No, I'll finish it, okay? Well, you're going to throw me in jail, huh? This prisoner is led to the electric chair, spitting in the face of this doctor. I mean, he said bad stuff. He opens up his eyes and sees in the corner of the jail there, the place where he's going to be executed, he has three visions. First is he sees Claude Newman looking at him. And he sees the Blessed Mother who has both of her arms on Claude Newman. Okay, get ready. Okay, this prisoner sees a graphic vision of hell where he's going. He's converted. Hell works. A graphic vision of hell, where a lady was saying, if you don't convert now, there's your vision of hell, which you could see the fire and probably the devils that were waiting for him. So what happens? He's converted. He asked for a priest to come. And it turned out that this guy was a Catholic. But because of his immoral life, and most people give up Catholicism not for dogmatic problems, but for living an immoral life. That's why people give up the church. They're giving into pornography and drinking and drugs, and they don't want to give up their vice, and they point the finger at the church, but they should be pointing the finger at themselves. Augustine says the more you point the finger at others, the less you examine your own conscience. So we saw a graphic vision of his place in hell and the Blessed Mother pointing to it with Claude Newman. He goes to confession and makes a good confession, and shortly after that, he's electrocuted. Did he go right to heaven? Maybe not, but he's saved. Even if he goes to purgatory for the end of time, he's saved. So that's the story of Claude Newman. What do you think? All the stories I've had, Father Greg Staub told it, but I was studying it the past couple of days, and I just want to leave you with that. Three conclusions from this. Number one is that the miraculous medal, it's not a superstition, okay? Because they're going to call you an idol worshiper. You're going to get that. But defend Mary. See, it's not a superstition. You've got a photo of your mother in your phone or in your wallet, and that's you're not practicing idolatry. Photo or medal is a reminder of the one we love. Okay? It's a reminder of the one we love. If you love someone, you want reminders. In my room, I've got four different photos of my mom and my dad. My dad passed away. I love the guy, but he's dead. So I see that. That brings me joy, just to seeing that photo of my father and the good memories I have with my father. It's a photo. I'm not practicing idolatry. I'm not making a genuflection to my father. But it calls to mind the love that he gave me, the love he gave to my mom, and my hope that he's in heaven now. Okay? Second is this, my friends. The hardest sinner of the world can be converted. Okay, Claude Newman was not a bad man. I mean, he was trying to defend his grandmother from being abused. I mean, certain sense. If that were to happen in another state that wasn't the South, he probably would have been exonerated. But there in the South, 60, 70 years ago, racial tension was... This is before Martin Luther King, right? But the other guy, he was bad stuff. So the worst sinner can become the greatest saint through the intercession of Mary. Amen? The good thief. I mean, who was the first canonized saint? It was a good thief, right? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The good thief. And last but not least is going back to the beginning of the apparitions of St. Catherine Laboureille. Hopefully the rest of this course, you're going to be like the novice Catherine Laboureille. Place your hands in the lap of Mary and talk to Mary. Talk to Mary. Everything that's on your mind, talk to Mary. You belong to Mary. Your past, your present, your future, all that you have, your problems, your sufferings, your crosses, your joys, your sorrows, you belong to Mary. Now, honestly believe, if you live this out, all the anxieties and the tension you have are going to evaporate in thin smoke. So praise and thank God for having Mary to be the Mother of God, the Mother of the Church, and our Mother. God bless you. So before you break into your groups, and I'm going to be giving you another blog article that I wrote, and you're going to be receiving these beautiful pictures, okay? You'll have Mary and the Miraculous Medal, and you'll have the front of the medal, and then you'll have the back of the medal. I didn't have enough time to explain the symbolism. I can maybe do that next week. But I want all of you to receive these beautiful pictures of Mary as part of our course, okay? Mary, did you? Okay, so Mary has a word or two to say, and then.
Okay, so they have this pistol now.